Welcome to the South Shore's Morning News Weekend Review Podcast. I'm Rob Hackelall. Listen for the next 30 minutes as we take a look back at some of the big interviews from the week on the South Shore's Morning News, which airs live weekdays from 5 to 10 a.m. Good morning. We continue on the South Shore's Morning News. I'm Rob Hackelall. In this segment, a pleasure to welcome to the broadcast Mo Rocca, American humorist, journalist, and award-winning correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning. He also is host of a podcast called Mobituaries with Mo Rocca. Season 3 is out now. And Mo joins us. Mo, good morning.
Good morning, Rob. Good to be with you.
Great to have you on WATD. And I remember, I'll tell you the story and everyone, when Season 1 first came out of the podcast, it was made available to radio affiliates such as us here at WATD, and we ran the program. They said, do you want to run Mo Rocca? I said, absolutely. And so at that time, I heard Season 1, and I've been a fan ever since, and I'm excited now Season 3 is available.
Well, I appreciate you running it on radio. That's I love hearing that, and I'm very happy that the show is back. I mean, it's become a real passion project for me to sort of give a second look at people and things of the past that I think deserve a second look. And we started off this season with John Denver, and the reception has been good, kind of looking at his life, what people don't know about it, and his beginnings, which were really surprising to me.
Yeah, tell us about the concept of the podcast for those that aren't familiar with it. You said you like to give that attention to dearly departed people and things.
Exactly. So it's my version of obituaries, hence Mobituaries. and some of the people and things on that are featured, you may not have known about. In Season 1, we did a woman named Elizabeth Jennings, who was sort of the Rosa Parks of New York, who 100 years before Rosa Parks sued the New York Transportation Authority because she'd been kicked off of a streetcar in the 1850s, and she won, and it led to the integration of New York's transportation system a few years later in the 1860s. But then other people are famous, like Laura Branigan or Sammy Davis Jr. or, in this case, John Denver. I'm doing an episode this season on the death of a banana, because, Rob, the banana that we eat today, I'm willing to say it, even if you aren't, is really boring. It's a very boring banana. It's known as the Cavendish. It's eaten the world over. But in the late 1950s, there was a global blight which wiped out the banana that our grandparents grew up eating, which was a vastly superior banana, and it was the Gros Michel banana. It had a French name. You can still find it in a few places. Small boutique farmers grow it, and it is a sweeter, luscious, vibrant banana that almost tastes like a dessert.
Oh, my. So okay.
I wanted to put a spotlight on that.
Have you had one?
I did have one. My producer managed to procure one, and I'm telling you, it was delicious.
I want one now.
Much tougher peel, but yeah.
The banana our grandparents ate. Wow, that's a good story. And now in the new season, you said you're starting off with John Denver. That's episode 1. Will there be a theme for the season, Mo?
You know, the theme really is things that I'm intrigued by. That's always the theme, or that I have some connection to. I wouldn't say that they're personal stories. They aren't, though. The one that was just released this past Wednesday, the second after John Denver, is about the first TV show I worked for and the star of that show. The first show I worked on was in the 1990s, a PBS kids show called Wishbone, about a Jack Russell Terrier who would become the heroes of the classic novels that he read. I mean, actual novels like Don Quixote and Treasure Island. And the star of that show was a dog named Soccer. And I wanted to go back and explore his life. And I talked to his trainer. I talked to my friend who was the head writer of the show. I talked to the guy who provided the voice of the dog, a comedian named Larry Brantley, and to do a portrait of this dog's life. And it was an interesting life because he got a late start. He only became a dog star at the age of 7, which is really late. He was kind of he was an out-of-work actor until then.
Well, so you really dig deep into these stories. I've always been fascinated, and it says here it's been 25 years since we lost John Denver.
isn't it crazy? As of 2 days ago, it was 25 years, and he was 53. You know, I think what people, I presume, our age remember is that there was a point in the 1970s when he was the biggest star in the world. I mean, yes. He really was. And it, only a few years later, in the early 80s, We Are the World, that song that was recorded to raise money for African famine relief, had about over 30 recording artists that participated, and they wouldn't allow John Denver. I mean, he wanted to be part of it. And it was a particular insult because he was very active in sort of, you know, raising awareness about global hunger. He had been on a presidential committee for that, but he hadn't had a hit in a few years, and it didn't matter that he had been such a big deal. And, you know, he was really hurt by that. And so that was just one detail in a life that now with distance we can look at and see that there were a lot of up and downs.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, for a time, John Denver was on the radio all the time. His songs played. And for me, I always still enjoy and hear the song that he does at Christmas time with the Muppets from the Muppet Show, The 12 Days of Christmas with John Denver, right?
Yeah, that was a big deal. He was great with the Muppets. I always thought he kind of looked like a Muppet version of himself.
Yeah.
You know, so it kind of made him, he fit right in with them. But, you know, if you really want to see something trippy on YouTube, you can see his Rocky Mountain Christmas special, his own Christmas special with Steve Martin, Valerie Harper, and Olivia Newton-John. And it is such an artifact of the 70s. It's sort of slowly paced. It even has something kind of wan and, frankly, a little bit depressing about it. Mm-hmm. 65 million people tuned in. That's how big a deal he was.
Obituaries is out. Season 3 is out now. You can find it wherever you download podcasts. And, by the way, all the previous episodes are available as well. I'll tell people that Mo, and you can mention too, I know in the first season for people locally here in Massachusetts, there was a New England man you highlighted named Von Meter, who had tied to a president that grew up in this area, right?
Yeah, Von Meter did an uncanny impression of John F. Kennedy. He had been a sort of middling stand-up before then, but he was discovered in a club doing his John F. Kennedy impersonation, and his album called The First Family, where there were a number of impersonators doing The First Family, very affectionate, though still very funny, and you can find it online, won the Grammy as Album of the Year, and was, I think, the biggest selling album, period, for a while.
Wow.
It was a huge deal. When President Kennedy was murdered on November 22nd, 1963, that also marked the death of Von Meter's career. I mean, he really became sort of an outcast because he was a grueling reminder of this person who had been murdered, slain, you know, in the prime of his life. And so Von Meter had trouble finding work. He really sort of went into a period of, you know, his, like, 40 years in the desert, basically.
Yeah.
And that was really fascinating, talking to his widow, talking to his producer, and that episode was Death of a Career.
Yeah. Wow. Check for that if you want to go back. I found that one that really hit me in season one. But I'm excited for season 3. It is out now, and you can find it wherever you download your podcast. Season 3 has dropped, is that what they say? Or is out?
That's what the kids say.
That's what the kids say.
And I think it's appropriate when you're talking about a series about obituaries. It dropped.
It dropped. Check it out. Mo Rocca with us today. Mo, thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Good being with you.
The Sound Stories Morning News continues. I'm Rob Hakala, and every week at this time, we talk with our tech guy, David Snell, who joins us from Act Smart IT in Wareham. David, good morning and welcome back.
Good morning, Rob. It's great to be here with you.
Well, so this week we are talking about TikTok. This is what the kids like these days, the TikTok. I don't know
exactly
a lot about TikTok.
I was going to ask if you were a TikTok user.
No, I'm not. In fact, I have to say I don't know a lot about it other than what I hear in the news and what I see. I don't know. I suppose maybe I should be there. I don't know. People say that there are a lot of people on it, that we should be using it. Other people say you got to be careful because it's owned by China. So I don't know what to believe.
It's a lot of people say don't waste your time because it's all about people going live, showing us the ins and outs of their daily lives, which I can get enough reality TV on TV if I want it. I don't need it on another platform.
Yes. I mean, that's what all of this comes down to is I still don't understand how you can do every social media site. Who has the time? I don't know. But anyway, TikTok is updating its live stream system, right? You have some news about that?
Yeah, it looks like apparently they're going to do something good for families, for parents. They're going to update the system limit for kids from going live to age 18. Right now it's age 16. Mm-hmm. Anyone over the age of 16 can start a live stream on TikTok. And also they can pay money towards other live streams, which is what this is really all about. It's about revenue generation between users and the creators of the TikTok live streams.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
I don't think I will use TikTok, nor will I look at any live streams. They're of no interest to me.
Yeah.
But the viewers who do that can send micro tips, and currently anyone over 16 can do that. So I don't know if a lot of kids 16 have their own bank account, or they're probably using mom or dad's. And although they're small micro tips, they can build up, and that's how the creators are somehow making a living on TikTok.
Okay, so a micro tip is this? We're talking about money. Is that what a micro tip is?
It is. We're talking about money paid to the live stream creator. So whatever you're watching on them, there's a button somewhere that you can click and give them cash.
Wow. Okay. All right. And what? Why?
Yeah, that's a good question, Rob. You and I don't understand why, but that's why. That's how the creators there on TikTok are making their money.
Okay.
Now, TikTok itself is trying to do the right thing here for kids, bringing it up to the age limit of 18. But then I went on, just because I don't have a TikTok account, yesterday as we were doing this article, and I tried to create an account as a 15-year-old, which would have given me a regular account that I could do anything. I did a 360, and I could get by at 15. They finally cut off my login to say they're going to control my access when I said that I was 12 years old.
Okay. All right. So there are some limits.
There are some limits, and not as what they're described right now, but there are some limits that they are apparently going to be increasing or raising to the age of 18.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, well, I think everybody would agree having age restrictions in place would be a good thing across all these platforms, I would imagine, because if you can't go live on TikTok, could you utilize another one? Or
I'm sure there are other ones out there. There's one we just heard about in the news recently called Parler. And that's another one that you can use this type of stuff with. Yeah.
Was Kanye buying that?
Yeah, Kanye is buying Parler. Yep.
Okay, all right, and that's another one that I don't have time for because because I'm old. I have Facebook.
I guess that's what it is.
Yeah,
and we both still have AOL, right?
I was almost. I have a Hotmail, which I think you know. I'm a Gen Xer, so it's not quite. My dad had an AOL account. I remember that, but yeah, I mean, everybody cool has a Gmail account, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have one, right? You're cool, so I know you do.
I think I made one up, David, but I still have the Hotmail, so I suppose I should switch it over if I want to be taken seriously, right?
Exactly. You should get up to speed here.
I know. And listen, I mean, I've got the new iPhone, fairly new, so it's new for me. So I'm trying here, but TikTok, I have to probably find somebody that has it. Do we know if anybody has it here? Dan, do you know? I'm going to get Dan McCready in to see if he has TikTok. I know he does a lot of things like that, and I have no idea really how the platform works or if it's used. No, even you don't do it. Okay. Because you're younger than I am.
Yeah, I'm a little leery about China knowing what I'm doing.
Yeah, well, that's.
I would have otherwise, but just, yeah.
Yeah, but you're on everything else pretty much, right?
Except for Snapchat, too, because Snapchat will tell people exactly where I am, and I don't like that.
Snapchat, oh my gosh, okay. Let's see. All right.
Yeah, there are far too many. So just let's keep in mind, folks, that TikTok is owned by a company located in communist China.
Yeah.
The company's name is ByteDance. And they do not operate under the same rules and regulations we do here in the USA.
Yeah, we got a text in from Jerry. He says, I still use AOL, and I love watching videos on the TikTok. On TikTok, it's just funny, entertaining. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess I have seen stories about it, but I don't think I'm watching it on TikTok. But you can watch videos that I guess are on TikTok, but they're on other things, right?
Yeah, you can really find them on Facebook or YouTube other areas, other places, yeah. So, so TikTok, I think, is going in the right direction, but then I have a question where they say they're going to have adult-only streams, and I'm just wondering if they're perhaps planning on making the adult component more risque for the kids over 18 in the future. I'm sure that'll improve the profit margins as well, because TikTok takes a cut of every micro tip that's given to a creator. So there's money being spent and people earning it, and some of us, including our children, actually the ones who are spending that money. So I think going up to the age of 18 would be good, as long as they maintain and monitor that and help protect some of the kids who are just a little too untrained in these types of social media accounts.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. As adults, we should probably do the best job we can to be sure that they have the best, safest experience. And this is probably going in the right direction. So I guess if you want to criticize TikTok for many things, I suppose you could say that, as you said, this might be something in the right direction.
Right. Let's hope it is.
Yeah, I know. We shall see. David Snell's got the latest on his blog. David, where can people go to read more?
Let's go to xsmartit.com and click on my blog link and get the whole article about TikTok, ByteDance, and everything else going on in the communist China-owned company.
xsmartit in Wareham, in Free Wareham. David, thank you so much.
Have a great day, Rob.
You too. The South Shore's Morning News is underway, and yes, we do have not one, but two special guest co-hosts in studio this morning. Caitlin Litchfield and Candace Hartford are in studio. They've been talking about their organization, Raising Hearts, and it's called RaisingHearts.com is the website, HARTS.com. Their mission is to grow a warm, supportive, and empowering community for families with neurodiverse children. And we've been talking about things like autism and other related topics this morning. They're both in studio, and I know you're both excited about the guest who I'm going to introduce now.
Very.
Is an author on here. They have been looking through the book all morning long. Laura Vanderkam is with us, and I was going to ask, first of all, by the way, I bet your lives, you've already described them, very hectic.
Yes.
And we know that life can be very hectic, and you always say that, you know, one day you're going to get to the things that you love, you know, whatever the things that you wanted to do, like write a book or travel, paint. But if the COVID-19 pandemic has taught us anything, life is unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Laura is with us. Her book is called Tranquility by Tuesday, 9 Ways to Calm the Chaos and Make Time for What Matters. Laura, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being with us. And tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and then we'll get into the new book.
Yeah. So I write and speak about the topic of time management. I'm always trying to help busy people make more time for what matters, spend less time on the things that don't. I live outside Philadelphia with my husband and my 5 kids.
Wow.
Oh, 5
bless
kids.
Your heart.
Okay. Wow.
Oh.
Okay. And Laura, you have found time to make time for things that matter?
Well, it's always a work in progress, as it is for all of us.
Yeah.
But the good news, yeah, I think we can take concrete steps to make life better. I mean, to make our normal days better, our Tuesdays better, right? That's the whole goal here.
Okay, so let's talk about, well, what do you think, first of all, why are the reason that we tend to not focus on this? I mean, we're always putting things off. I mean, is it just that, I mean, why do we as people, we tend to do that? We just focus on the work, our home, and, you know, we're going to get to that someday. And we know it's a good idea, but why do we keep putting things like that off?
Well, because life just feels so busy. I mean, many of us are building careers, raising families. We're juggling so many balls that it's hard to focus on anything except what's right in front of you, right? And the problem with time, it's, you know, the nature of it, is that it keeps moving forward no matter what you are doing. So basically, it's like riding a rapidly moving river. It just does not slow down. And so because of that, it's very hard to spend time mindfully. So we need to build practices into our lives that allow us to think about what we wish to do with our time, habits that make it easier to make good choices in the moment rather than just letting life happen to us.
All right. So give us some examples here. Because I've had these two moms who've been talking about your young kids. We know everybody that's listening this morning, you know, they're either fighting traffic on the expressway, getting into Boston, you know, trying to get through the rain. They've got things coming up for the weekend. They've got, inflation to worry about, maybe.
Gas prices.
So there are things that you talked about, what, working sometimes 12, 14-hour days in the hospital?
Yep,
for Candace's job as a nurse. So what are some tips that we can try to, you know, calm the chaos?
Yes, well, unfortunately, I can't do anything about the inflation part. One thing I can do is just the first rule of these nine rules that are part of Tranquility by Tuesday, and one that's so simple and yet many people do not do, is to give yourself a bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
And now, obviously, if somebody is working in a hospital, different shifts, it's a little bit more complicated to have a regular bedtime. But for somebody who has a regular sort of job where you have to be up at a certain time in the morning, we seem to go to bed at times that are completely unrelated to the time that we need to wake up in the morning, right?
Yes,
but
guilty.
There's an amount of sleep you need. There is a time you need to wake up in the morning for job or household responsibilities. So count back the amount of time, the amount of sleep you need, and that gives you your bedtime. So somebody who has to be up at 6 a.m. and who needs 8 hours of sleep, their bedtime is 10 p.m. You know, if you have to be up at 5 and you need 8 hours of sleep, your bedtime would be 9. If you have to be up at 7 and you need 7 hours of sleep, your bedtime could be midnight. Like, it's not a statement of what kind of person you are. It is just a math problem. But when I have people give themselves a bedtime consistently over the course of the Tranquility by Tuesday project, their energy levels soared. The proportion of people who said they were getting enough sleep to handle their responsibilities just went up massively. People felt so much better about life. Like, it seems so simple, but it works.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So bedtime is one.
Oh, boy.
What do you think, guys?
I mean, I think it's so true. It's such a simple thing, but it's about being intentional. I mean, for me, it's about putting my phone down. I mean, if I really put my phone down,
and
it has to be far away from me, then I will more often go to bed closer to when I should.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Screen's going to be a big problem from preventing the tranquility, I imagine.
It's true, but there's actually, another habit, one of the other rules is to do effortful fun before effortless fun, and that's about doing something other than screens for just a few minutes whenever a little spot of leisure opens up. So challenging yourself to read a book for 2 minutes before you switch over to Twitter, or do a puzzle for 10 minutes before you turn on Netflix. And when you do that, you feel like you're wasting so much less time. You don't get sucked into stuff as much. You might even actually finish a book, and that can make life feel a lot better.
That's a great one. All right, we've got time for one more. Give us another tip.
Oh, well, this is probably my favorite one. I mean, I'm not allowed to have a favorite rule, just as I can't have a favorite child, but this would be the rule the others are jealous of, is to have one big adventure and one little adventure each week. And people say, well, what? Is that a time management rule? Well, it is. Because much of adult life feels the same day to day, right? You get up, get to work, collect everyone, you know, go through the march of dinner, bath, bed, TV. And it just sort of disappears into these memory sinkholes. But do two things each week. One that's maybe a couple of hours, half a weekend day. Maybe another thing that's a little adventure on your lunch break, a weekday evening. But something memorable and out of the ordinary. And you'll start looking forward to life so much more. It won't be, you know, just the week that disappeared like all other weeks. It's like, no, that's the week we went mini golfing. That's the week we tried out the new gelato place. You know, it just makes life more fun.
Mm.
I like that one. For me, it's shopping by myself. That would be an excursion I look forward to.
Shopping by yourself?
Yes.
Shopping by yourself is great.
Therapeutic.
I like to have lunch by myself.
Lunch by yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, there are all these things. You're right. And, you know, it's right about having something to look forward to, because I think most of us, you know, today is the day. It's Friday and we say, where did the week go? Right.
Yeah.
Same thing every week. Where did the week go? And it'd be nice to have those things. So Laura Vanderkam, Tranquility by Tuesday, 9 ways to calm the chaos and make time for what matters. Book's out now, right, Laura?
It's out now. Love if people would check it out.
LauraVanderkam.com. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll for having me.
Be doing these tips.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. As always, you can find us on your radio at 95.9 FM, mornings from 5 to 10, or online at 95.9WATD.com.
And you can catch up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can get the links at 95.9WATD.com/SS Morning News. And join us next week for another edition of the South Shore's Morning News Week in Review.